Welcome to episode 52, I believe. 52 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea, and I'm also here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we just wanted to check in, and I'm super excited for this episode with our guest. And obviously, one of the things that we talked about last time was that, look at me being bad again. You can find us on pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. I think we get a lot of our listens on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and I actually personally hate Apple Podcasts, even though I do have an iPhone now. So I actually still utilize Google Podcasts. And you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And like I said, our Instagram is justkeepspinningpodcast. So you can find us there and connect with us and, you know, DM us or, like I said, email us if for suggestions. If you want us to use any of your music or you want to be potentially a guest or you want to suggest a guest. And I'm also actually really quick. I'm going to be a guest on Record Bar Radio this Sunday. What date is that, Andrew?
September 13th.
So I'll be playing at 1 p.m. this Sunday. So you don't have to watch live. It's cool if you do. I think, you know, I watch some shows on Record Bar. And if you want to follow Record Bar Radio on Instagram, it's Record Bar_Radio. But one of the shows that I faithfully never, ever, ever miss is Film Music with Mr. Jules Quimby, who is actually one of our guests early on in the podcast. So I've tuned into other shows too, and they're all really great, but, you know, I have a personal bias. Have you had a chance to watch any of the Record Bar stuff? Andrew kind of juggles two jobs, so it's kind of difficult.
I've watched some of the Julian stuff in passing with you, like, you know, if we're at home and you have it playing, I'll listen to it, like, on the weekends or whatever. And we've listened to a couple of the, like, Saturday morning shows when we're, like, waking up and stuff like that. But other than that, I have not been able to catch as much because I, like you said, I work both jobs.
Yeah, I have a desk job too, and I work from home, so it's a lot easier for me to kind of just be like, oh, it's, you know, time for this, or the notifications come up, because you can actually subscribe, I believe. I think that's what I did. I subscribe on YouTube to their YouTube channel, basically, and then when a show's gonna air, I usually get the notification. So another Instagram as well that I have mentioned in the past, but it's super important, that's doing amazing work, is Mutual Aid Phoenix, which their IG is Mutual Aid PHX. So if you need assistance, or if you are super fortunate enough and you can donate items or anything, there's tons of different things you can get creative with donating. They certainly can take those things and distribute them to people that do need them. It's not charity. It's literally mutual aid. So it's you helping your own community and those in need. So it's really a beautiful thing that exists.
Yeah. So how about if you can't?
Yes. So I think we actually have been graced with Ken's thoughts, have we not?
Yes, we have a Ken's Corner this week.
We do. So we'll go ahead and feature that.
Yo, what's up, Record Fam? This is Ken with another thought for you guys. I want to get y'all opinion on it. So, a little record store day. We know normally it's one day out the year, but with all the shenanigans going on this year, we get three different Record Store Day drops, which is kind of cool, but if it's nothing that you really need, it can kind of be overwhelming. To be honest, I don't even like going out and dealing with the crowds anymore. And I think overall, for people like us that support independent record stores throughout the year, I think Record Store Day is just a little bit overblown now. So I don't want to be a Scrooge about it or anything, but I want to get you guys' thoughts on Record Store Day and what you would like to see happen with Record Store Day going forward as we move on into 2021. Peace.
Okay, so I didn't go out for a record store this year, but Andrew did go out there, because sometimes, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to stay home, especially with all the craziness that's going on with the pandemic. So, Andrew, did you have any pickups personally really quick for Record Store Day? Or, like, what did we get? I know we got a few things, right?
We got the Tyler, the Creator Cherry Bum. So I picked that up, and I got a Charlie XCX Room Room. but my copy was damaged, so I was pretty upset about that. But other than that, I really didn't get anything on Record Store Day on this drop.
And are you... Well, there was things I think we, when we had looked at the list previously, that we did want. But like how we discussed in the last episode, Record Store Day is being split into three different days. So when's the next Record Store Day?
I believe... So it's at the end of the last Saturday of the next couple months. So the 26th of September and the 24th of October. Or it could be possibly Halloween. It's one of the two. I don't think it's Halloween, though. But, you know... The way they're doing it, obviously, because of COVID and the outbreak and stuff like that. So,
what was for you, since how did you feel? Like, did it feel like Record Store Day to you, or did it not? Did it feel kind of weird?
So, the way they did it was they had like they opened early and they did 15 people at a time. And then
who's they?
Zia. I went to Zia and did it. They let in 15 people at a time. It was like a little maze, and you just grabbed what you wanted. You got what you wanted, and you went and paid, and that was that. So you didn't have like the rush, I guess you can say. Like Record Store Day, like before, it's like open the floodgates and go get as much shit as you can in the short amount of time, and if you miss it, you miss it. But I felt like it was almost more fair this way, because even if you sometimes if you get there early, and you'd be like let's say the 15th person in line. You don't have, if there's only like two or three of that copies of that one particular record, you don't have enough time to get in there, try to get all these different things. So this way it's more, I guess you can say it's more fair. But from what I heard, there was only like a 30 minute rush, and that was that. They were open the whole entire time. I had an opportunity to buy there was a Cure Blood Flowers double LP, but it was picture disc, so I didn't buy it. But that's the way they did it. And then they went live at 10 a.m.
But I'm saying, did you prefer it this way? Did it feel like Record Store Day to you? Because like how Ken was saying how he's not feeling it because of the fact that he's not really feeling the crowd thing anymore. And I don't even think he meant it even in the aspect of like the pandemic wise crowd. I think he just meant like he's just not feeling like going toe to toe, elbow to elbow with some dude to knock him out of the way for something.
Yeah, I feel like the crowd was a little bit different now. Record Store has always been about like exclusive records of like different pressings or first time pressings of something or something like that. But I feel like it was more like you didn't see the same people you see usually. Like you'd see like the everyone there that you would know that you see all the time at Record Store Day, but now it's like a different crowd.
Well, okay, so I guess the way I feel about Record Store Day is I do think it has significance. I feel like the Record Store Day that's traditionally in April was always the bigger one, and the Black Friday one was always more of the cash grab. I mean, but they're both cash grabs now. I think it's been that way for some time. I think Record Store Day is still neat, but it's definitely lost some of its like its touch or whatever.
And it's luster.
It's not out of touch, but yeah, it's luster. It's a perfect way to say it. And it's almost just like Hype Beast Day.
Yeah, I mean, I grabbed Tyler the Creator just because I know it's something that's never been pressed. So
were you wearing your Yeezys when you?
I was
did
wearing
that?
Yeezys.
You don't even have Yeezys.
I was wearing like Nike trainer pants,
an oversized hoodie. And you're all a thrifted oversized hoodie
and a vintage hat.
So, but yeah, like that's how I just feel. Like I feel like, I mean, it's cool, and I go through the list every year, and you know, every Record Store Day, no matter, you know, if it's the April one or the one in the fall, to see what's getting pressed. Because sometimes there is like a thing or two in there where you're like, wow, like I've been waiting for that. I've been wanting that. But I feel like just because the fact that records is on the uptick, it's like even Zia is getting so many things like exclusives. And no, like I said, we're not sponsored by Zia. It's just an example because they're super active on social media with certain things and other record stores here. Except for Grand Avenue. I think Coco's probably super active.
Yeah, I think Coco does a good job.
But anyhow, it's just like the Ann Peebles, they had that, they repressed that. There's just been so many things, the Oogum Boogum that they did, which we snatched that up because obviously like it's a classic record. We have an OG press of it, but I mean, it's a beautiful color and I'm not super big on variants, but I think it's really cool. And personally, I'm just more about the dig in general. Like I don't usually gravitate towards the new section all the time too much. So I don't mind digging and stuff. And I just, like I said, I feel like Records for Day has just become like Hype Beast Day, which kind of makes me, and I know you can judge me all you want for saying this, but it's like Record Thought Day. And I don't mean that as in like a gendered term, because I know thought typically is a gendered term. And this is my own views. It's not Ken's or Anders. But what I'm saying is like, you know, you go on Instagram and it's kind of like when we talked about Elise in the last episode, where we were talking about there's people that just love records, but then there's a difference between loving records and loving music. And personally, like Andrew, myself, we both really love music. We know tons of people who love music, but a record thought is basically someone who loves records over music, and they're more obsessed about, it's like collecting that physical to say they have it. You know, I don't buy things because they're rare, and that's part of it too, is like even the people, like a record thought, even there's so many people that are like, I only collect rare soul. It's like, okay, so who says it's rare then? Like, who are you to say this? Why are you gatekeeping? It's like, this is so ridiculous and stupid. It's like, you need to have your own ear and your own taste. And sometimes your ear and your taste changes, and that's fine. You know, people will sell their stuff off and be like, you know, I was collecting this. Now I'm not really into listening to that much anymore. Like, I'm more into this. Nothing wrong with that. People change. We're allowed to grow. But people who I see specifically sell their, like they'll have a soul collection and they sell a certain segment of it because they're like, oh, I'm moving on to the next thing because I want to be ahead of the trend. I'm like, well, then you're into it because it's a trend, because you're a damn record thought. And honestly, I see most men doing that, not women. But, you know, and then there's the people that just pose with records and stuff like that. And you want to have a conversation, you get excited to talk to them, and they don't really know anything about the actual music part of it. And that's really disappointing and deflating. But I know people are going to be like that with anything, with any kind of hobby, but it's just a little disappointing.
I've also seen it with men and women will be posing with a record, and they'll put like their whole fucking life story in like the
caption.
I'm like, you know, I understand you're like really trying to express yourself about how much you care about said record or album, whatever, but it comes to a point where it's overkill, and like it can be very like too much sometimes.
Yeah, and I think I've maybe been guilty of that, honestly. So I guess I can be a little thought myself, you know. It's okay, like, you know, no one's perfect, guys. But you know, like I said, if you do it once or twice or whatever, but it's like, you know, just enjoy the music. Like I see someone that whose live stream that I do watch a lot as well is DJ Fat Soul, and he's spitting on Serato, but I can see like he's super connected to the music he's playing. He's having fun. The people on his stream are enjoying it, interacting in the chat. So it's not about necessarily like you have to like records. And, you know, DJ Fat Soul, he has records and he's been, you know, doing this for a long time, but it's just about enjoying the music. And that, like I said, that's the point of the podcast. We're a music podcast. We're a community podcast. So I'm just saying, guys, you know, calm down with this whole rare insert funk, rare insert soul, whatever, rare this, rare that, because it's just like, that's just ridiculous at the end of the day. Have some patience, dig. I have gone out a little bit more. I feel probably a little bit more comfortable going out. I wear a mask. I still social distance. And so I have done some digging, so that's probably helped my mental health a lot, because I do like finding things and sometimes even passing things on. If I see a record and I know it's more of your lane, I'll definitely, you know, message you about or tell you about it. And depending on how much, you know, I am feel like we're cool or whatever, I might even pick it up for you depending on the price too. So, but that's pretty much it. And our next guest is, well, you'll see who they are, and they're wonderful. And I just hope you guys enjoy the interview, because we had tons of fun recording it. All right. right, people, so we're back here and we have actually have a guest that we've been wanting to have for a long time, so we're super excited. So I'm Andrea, this is
I'm Andrew.
Of course, everybody knows we're here together, and I've still have to be mindful and get used to the fact that we actually are doing like the interviews, and then we're gonna post record the pre-interview part with just him and I, so I always have to be mindful. But we're here, like I said, we have an awesome guest with the Just Keep Spinning podcast, and we are here with, go ahead and introduce yourself,
DJ Jamie Lee. Had audible effects in their reverb.
I know, right? So where can you let people know where you want to be found?
Oh, I like that. I like the way you place that question, because, you know, sometimes you get that pressure to, like, you know, put everything out there.
Yeah.
My Instagram and Twitter are just JMELEE. So it's letters like that. Like, so like that. So go ahead and, you know, find me on there. And you're talking about social media, right?
Yeah. But anywhere, like, if you have anything that you usually do, like, if you broadcast things or whatever, yeah, anything.
I have a SoundCloud, of course. You can hear mixes and just things that are selections of mine that I've found and love and want to share. I'm on there pretty frequently. DJ Jamie Lee, just the dash and the Jamie. What else? Oh, yeah, I have a podcast myself coming up, but I can't really put too much details out there just yet. It's still all coming together, but it's almost done. So.
Exactly. You can't give it all away, too, because you never know who's listening. So you're like, I got to keep playing my cards close sometimes, you know?
Exactly. But, you know, once you follow me on the social medias, you'll be the first to know when that
comes. Awesome. So we have, obviously, like we said, DJ Jamie Lee in here with us. And again, her social media is JMELEE, like DJ JMELEE, right?
Yep, Jamie Lee.
Okay, I remember way back when I first met you. I think it was like the first time I actually met you. We were talking about Instagrams or something, and you're like, I want to change it, but I can't think of anything else.
I know. See, and what's funny is I actually did. It was C. Jamie Lee, which was so confusing and just annoying. People would just, I don't know, see that word C and just like just, I don't know, it would mess up the whole way of saying my name. So they would just be like, C. Maj, you know, C. Jamie Lee. I don't even know, I've had everything. But since I took the C away and I just have it as those like six letters, it's actually been easy. People just say it straight like Jamie Lee. But
so it actually worked out for you. You're changing it. It's like I know someone, her husband does like synthesizers and like, I don't know, he makes his own like music and stuff. But so I always followed him on Instagram, and his name was spelled on Instagram CLPRT. So I thought it was Culprit. So one day I asked her, I'm like, okay, so is it Culprit, right? And she's like, she started laughing. She's like, actually, it initially was Culprit, but people kept calling him Clip Art. So then he just changed, like, he kept this spelling, but he goes by Clip Art now.
Damn. So hard. You gotta, like, just test the waters out. Change the name and just see what people say.
Exactly. Just put it up. We should just, like, go to some randomizer and get, like, random ass letters, put them together and see how people pronounce them. And see what they
Seriously,
come up with. So, Andrew, go ahead. And so we have a special segment that you can go ahead and do you want to explain it?
So we always do the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100, the number one song that on the day of your birth. So like the day you were born, like on during that week, what the number one song was. Do you know what that song is?
OMG, I just looked this up recently. I think it was, I want to say a TLC song.
It is a TLC song. It is a TLC song.
Yeah.
So you want to do a little countdown?
I'll give you the top five of that week. Number five was Bon Jovi, Always. Number four was Madonna, Take a Bow.
That's one of the only Madonna songs I love because Babyface did that song.
Number three was Real McCoy, Another Night. I don't know what the fuck that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Number two is Boyz II Men on Bended Knee. Fucking hater. And then number one was TLC Creep.
yes. That is so cool. I feel like I had a little good air right there.
You happy with your songs that you got? Most of them?
I love it. Yeah. The songs were really dope. Like, I feel like it just confirmed I was born in a dope place.
So the other part, though, okay, so remember that thing that was going around on social media for a while, and it was basically the number one song on your 14th birthday was supposed to have defined your life. Did you ever see that?
No.
Okay, so what Andrew's going to do now is count down the top 10 from 10 to 1, and we'll see if you agree or disagree if the number one song defines your life.
Interesting. Okay, bet. Let's see it.
Okay, Number 10 was Jason Mraz, I'm Yours. And this is in 2009.
Yes, 2009.
Number 9 was Britney Spears, Circus. Number 8 was The Fray, You Found Me. Number 7 was T.I. featuring Rihanna, Live Your Life. Number 6 was The All-American Rejects, Gives You Hell. God, that song sucks. I just thought, I didn't even think about that song. Number 5 was Taylor Swift, Love Story. Number 4 was Kanye West, Heartless.
How are they by each other? Like, yeah. What's the chance of Kanye and Taylor by each other?
Oh my god, seriously though.
What's funny is that number 3 was Beyonce, Single Ladies, which was a song he was pissed off with.
Started off the whole thing.
Oh yeah. Not for real though.
He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying though.
Number 2 was Lady Gaga, Just Dance. And number 1, if you had to take a guess, what do you think it could be?
I don't think you're going to guess.
I don't think you can guess this either.
Okay, it's a...
It has to be a Pitbull song or something.
It's
like
a
that,
lady. Right? It's a lady. There's no features. So it's just a solo woman artist that's in more of like... Was kind of like her debut, her big... Well, not her debut, but when she started blowing up a few years prior, it was
Kesha?
Like pop rock.
Wasn't Kesha?
No.
American Idol.
Oh, Jordan Sparks?
It was Kelly Clarkson, My Life Would Suck Without You.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you know that song?
I can't even lie to you. I don't. And I know some Kelly Clarkson. So that's actually throwing me off, like how that was the number one song. But
so you're going to have to go ahead and look that up. Because that thing jumped from like number 97 to number 1.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was yeah. In like a week. Yeah.
Maybe just the title I don't remember. But if I like heard the song, I'd be like, oh yeah.
I feel like when it came out, that song is kind of like just a little generic-y. Because that's probably why you can't like pinpoint it. So if when you hear it, you're probably like, oh, I know this song. But yeah, so.
No, that's exactly it. Because I can't lie. Like I only know like 2 Kelly Clarkson songs by heart, like and my name. But that's really as far as. Let it go. I don't know.
You're like, my life doesn't suck, so I don't know if that really defines it.
No, seriously though. That's funny. And to answer your question about which one defined it for life for me, it's hard. I'm kind of stuck in between 2. I'll just say 1 though. Lady Gaga Does Dance.
That one
was on the week before, so we'll just let that be.
No, it wasn't. That was
no, that was number 2, but it was number 1 the week before.
It was number 1 the week before you turned 14.
I just know that was like her breakthrough, and like I don't know what it was, but I was just going through a little phase. She was that girl.
It's because she was girl. Fun, right? Like she just I feel like that's missing right now from mainstream music. Just like that fun, like everybody just doing their thing, having fun. Like you want to, I mean, no one can go to the club right now, but.
Oh, no, exactly right. But I definitely feel like she was the different one out of the bunch in terms of pop stars. So I had to show some love
to Lady Gaga. And so just so everyone who is not familiar with you, are you from here?
I'm not originally from here. I'm actually from Alaska. Or, you know, born right there. But when I came out here around 9 or 10, this was home for me, being in Arizona. So I've just transitioned from, like, the far west side to the east over the course of the decade, basically.
So what made you want to come out here?
I was so young, I didn't really have a choice being like 9 or 10. So I just moved here with my mom off of a job opportunity that she had. I don't think the military base, but just in, like, my parents were in the military at the time of being in Alaska, which was why I was there. But yeah, I think when that time just came to transition, the best opportunity that she found was out here.
So. Yeah, I always feel like a lot of people that aren't from here, that's what I always find. They're just like, well, I just kind of like put the feelers out there and this just seemed like the best place to land.
That is true. People make a very conscious decision to live out here, especially because it's a cheaper place to live in your, like, on the West Coast, ideally. But it's changing a lot now.
It is changing a lot. So what changes have you seen personally since, like, you started, like, coming into your own living here and then to now? What would you say?
Gentrification is very real. I'll just put that out there now. I mean, you can go around downtown Phoenix and just really see for yourself. It looks nothing like, obviously, how it did. And it's very subjective on how you might feel about that, whether you appreciate the change or it kind of makes you cringe. I'm very much on that cringe side, but because I just appreciate history and you know, the culture of whatever was out here. And I feel like there was a lot of that. I remember, because I was living on the college dorm campuses for a few years, but I remember there used to be like a bodega shop, so people, like, community could be able to shop, and there'd be a lot of local artists things that would have their own little setups and just places you could vibe, listen to music, live music, and it was just really chill. And now it's, I don't know, it's just seeming a little more different. So that would be the top thing. Everything else is just the fact that it's getting hotter. The fact that more it's growing, you know, it's now like what, in the top five
cities.
So it's definitely making its way into this transition, and I think, you know, we'll obviously never really be what it was, and it's just really up to that person living here to decide, is it something that is worth staying around for, or, you know, maybe to transition, whatever.
Yeah, like time to move on sort of thing.
Yeah, nah, definitely. But I don't knock anyone's opinion for how they view it. I mean, Arizona has it can be a very beautiful place, just in terms of scenery. I was like, let me just keep it on the nature.
Keep it on the nature. So
yeah, we have nice sunsets. That's for sure.
Yeah, that we do have nice sunsets. That's right, we do. Like, I was telling you kind of earlier, my friend that has traveled everywhere, whatever, she had told me still, even though she's been so many places, like, I can't even tell you, but and she's actually lived there, not just like visited. So she's lived like multiple places around the world, and she's like, Arizona still to this day has one of the most just beautiful everyday natural sunsets that, like, you'll just ever see.
Oh yeah, it's worth it. It is so worth it. And also the sceneries, like, I've never been to Antelope Canyon, but just seeing the pictures and Grand Canyon, which I actually still have never visited yet, being out here.
You're not alone on that, girl.
I'm born and raised here, and I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
I think that's a common thing. Yes. Like, I just don't think people that be out here for, like, you know, as long as I have, or just are from, like, literally from here, think that, like, they've been to those places.
Yeah, I've never been.
I mean, if you want to see a big old hole in the ground, I mean, if that's all you're about.
Well, there's beauty. There's
tons of beauty into it, but, you know,
yeah, it's just not on the list.
It's not on the list of things to do.
Or it is, but it's like way at the bottom.
$5, because I heard that's how much it was.
Really?
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I got the extra money to spend for that.
Right? Yo, Phoenix is gentrified. I don't got the money. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, I need coffee and I need snacks, and no Grand Canyon is going to provide for that shit.
All right, let me go ahead on YouTube.
I've actually gone on YouTube. Have you seen, like, have you ever gone on YouTube and you can look up, like, I did this for actually Japan. So I was looking at, someone was in Japan, but they had like a GoPro, but it's like a first person point of view, and they're like walking around. So it's like you're just watching it, and it's just so neat. Like, it's all calming and stuff. But I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I watch those every once in a while.
Really? Yeah. I, YouTube is just, it's a fun world. I watch it like a TV. I don't know if I've seen those specifically, but I do like watching travel vlogs and things like that.
So as far as traveling, let's go a little bit back in time. And I want to know, just curious. So in your household, was music always a thing, or was it something that you kind of discovered on your own?
I would definitely say music has always been a thing. I would just always remember the rides that my sister or my parents would have to give me on our morning route to school, whether that was in grade school, high school, whatever. But just getting older, listening to the music that they would play, they had a diverse amount of, like, just, I don't know, everything, neo soul, hip hop, a lot of like that old school. A lot of just really everything, soul, funk. It took me into this time machine that really helped influence me to get my knowledge up a little bit. So, and I wouldn't say, like, musicians wise there was anyone too prominent. Like, my dad was really into guitar, so he has a lot of guitar music that I currently have in my possession. But yeah, I would say they influenced me a lot and pushed me in a direction of, like, seeing that I liked music. So they would definitely aid in getting me into those places and spaces that provided that resource.
That's cool. So, like, did you ever listen to, like you said, you kind of, like, you did live in Arizona and you were raised in Alaska a bit, but you seem like you kind of moved around a bit due to the nature of your parents, like, jobs and things like that. So did you ever feel like, would you pick up on music different places? Did you notice, like, different trends or things like that when you would be moving or, like, just meet different people?
Well,
like, did you listen to the radio? Was that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, definitely when I got out here, I did. And it was, like, back when it was 92.3 versus 98.3, as you know. So I think it was different for me because, like, well, I appreciated radio. I listened to it a lot for the dialogue, granted, versus, like, the actual music. I feel like I just transitioned to learn different music that was charting and all that through radio, obviously, but I don't know if I would say I relied on it. I would watch a lot of, like, MTV shows, or just BET, like, you know, when they would count down with the music videos and stuff and talk about which ones were the top ones. So I think that helped influence my mind into what's going on every day. But because I mentioned before, I was really sheltered. My parents weren't really listening to that type of stuff. They were more so listening to, like, the underground, low-key soul, neo-soul, hip-hop, like, stuff like that. So I got a nice little balance of what was outside of my realm every day listening, and then also just hearing my parents every day, whether they played music around the house or drove me to school or something.
Do you remember any DJ specifically, like, maybe even in the Valley, that you liked, whether you liked their, like you're saying, their dialogues? Like, was it a morning show or was it a different show that you used to, like, kind of look forward to listening to?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about radio on 92.3, man, I don't know. Was John Jay and Rich on?
No, they were 104.7. So like 92.3. See, so this is where the generational gap comes in. Because like for us, like, okay, for us, 92.3, definitely thing. But then like one of the prominent morning show pretty much for most of, I think, our adolescence would have been Kid and Reuben, huh?
Yeah, Kid and Reuben. Kid and Reuben.
Exactly. That is the name right there. I honestly, like when you say it just makes sense. I can remember it, but I definitely, it just slipped my mind because like, there's been so many changes in radio personalities that have transitioned in and out over these years. And then I'm in radio too now, ironically. So it's like, yeah, but I would say that was like when I was getting my first dose of radio, it was Tom Joyner Show and definitely Kid and Reuben on 92.3. And like, they were wild. Like they would always, you know, it would be crazy. And like, I remember there was this one time, I think they're just playing nothing but country music or just something. I don't know. They would just do a bunch of random weird stuff that I feel like, you know, ended in their little legacy of, but it just made me interested with listening. Like I said, when it came to radio, I don't think I really listened for the music. I just listened for that dialogue, and they would give me what I wanted from that.
Yeah, too. It's like you're maybe you have a routine of like you're getting ready, you put it on. So it's like just part of the routine of like, I'm going to put it on the station. It's going to be on in the background sort of thing.
Yeah. I was a TV kid too, kind of growing up. So I was watching a lot of like, literally like Ass Crack of Dawn MTV music videos.
The weird shit.
Weird shit, like, you know, like after the Girls Gone Wild ads, then I would get to see what I was waiting for, because I would have to get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning because my parents would have to drop me off early at school because they had work and things to do. So I would be those kids that would be like at school in the morning, like early as hell, waiting for the gate to open. So that was kind of where I feel like musically I got my little.
It's all cold. You're standing out there. You can see your breath when it's the winter. Huh? You're like waiting there with your backpack.
Yep. That's why I have my earphones. I would have either iPad or something to listen. Not iPad. You know, the iPod to listen to music, and I would just get to it, like listening to music,
being in your own little bubble. So okay, I have a question for you. TRL or 106 in Park?
Ah, this is easy for me. If it was 106 in Park. I mean, don't get me wrong. TRL, I think, was like more iconically with like their guest mix and stuff. But like musically, I definitely was always attracted with 106.
So did you ever watch, I think it was on one, I'm pretty sure it was on 106 in Park. One of the performances that I always, to this day, will still go back and watch, and not because it was good, but I still remember it, is Cassie when she performed Me and You. Do you remember?
Oh my God. Vaguely, I can't lie. Like, I'm sure if I like saw a video again, I would be like, oh God. But that was like definitely when she first broke through with that song too, huh?
Yeah, you need to go look it up because it's so tame, her performance. Because the song, you know, it's a little saucy, like you hear the lyrics and, you know, it's a little low-key the way she's singing it. But she puts nothing into the performance. She's just like, just
that is so there. Funny. I think I like that as much as I like watching Soul Train, because that was another show for me where it's like, oh my God, like people are dancing, there's these artists, like this is so cool. I love shows like that. So yeah.
Do you have a favorite episode of Soul Train?
Or like anything that sticks out in your mind that you saw in there?
Well, anything that sticks out of my mind, obviously I wasn't like alive. I'm not about to be like, I love when they was doing this. Splits, like my ass was, I'm only 25, so I'm not even about to front. Like, those looking back when I like did my research to understand Soul Train and just everything about it, like history wise, like I love those type of clips, you know, people just doing all the crazy dances, splitting, just doing the most. But on the recent tip, I don't think personally I can say there was. I feel like Soul Train always stayed in their lane. Like I don't remember them ever having like a scandal or like anything crazy. It was just like cut and dry. Y'all dancing on this plate here. And that was really it. You know, we got one performance, boom. So
have you ever watched the episodes with the commercials in them still? Like the ads?
Y'all schooling me. I'm like, I don't know if I remember that far back. I remember back when they transitioned it to where like it was like early 2000s. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so it was on, not CW, but
it was on UPN, wasn't
UPN,
it?
UPN, yeah. UPN, yeah. I was watching it during that era, but I definitely know that it has a long lineage of just being around.
The only reason I asked is because we recently got a small box set of Soul Train. Like, it was just a whole bunch of Soul Trains. And, like, they have the ads for, like, Afro Sheen and stuff in it.
In the 70s.
In the 70s, and it is the best.
Yes.
That is dope. Oh, my gosh, man. I need to cop me something like that because that sounds really entertaining. I just love when I have, like, a get-together, I'll just put those videos on with some, like, random music and just let it play on a projector.
Yeah, we were able to acquire some VHS tapes with like a whole bunch of music videos on them.
Yeah, like VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. VHS. It has like one of them has Aaliyah. I can't remember which music video is on there. Like, but it's pretty cool. So we collect that kind of quote unquote collect. I don't know what the right word is, but we like to buy stuff like that too because we just, you know, it's part of music. It's just cool.
Well, you would love my parents' stuff. They got nothing but that. Like, I'm actually storaging it for them right now at my crib. But they got hella VHS tape of all the little old school movies, House Party, Breaking, everything. Crazy. Breaking.
Have you ever seen this? It's from that era of, like, the music, like, the music movie, I guess you can say, and it's called Rappin'. Have you ever seen that?
Rappin'.
It's so horrible. Like, it's bad, but you have to watch it because that's what you watch it and you're just like, what is it? It's like basically like when rap was taking off in the 80s, you know, like Run DMC, all that. So they're trying to like commercially like profit from it. So it's like in that vein, but there's no passion behind it. It's just like a money grab essentially, and it's just so bad, but that's what makes it good. You have to watch it.
Oh my god. Those be the most entertaining movies, to be honest. But I can't say that I've had the privilege of watching it. I've watched some interesting made movies that have to do with music, whether they're like giving some documentary or something or like trying to base it off a true story. And those are interesting, but that sounds like something I need to see.
You just put it on the, you know, something will happen and you'll just look at okay, like
I'm gonna throw it on with like a friend when we have nothing to do and just like, hey, you want to see a movie, girl? Like,
so you want to see a really bad one?
Throw them off.
Exactly.
Love it.
So when did you start coming into your own? Because like at the age you are, like Andrew and I were just having a conversation about this because of his coworker. So a thing for us is that we kind of missed this train because it was like a thing by the time we like had graduated high school. So we were kind of into the adult world a little bit already. So were you ever into, whether aesthetically or musically, the whole scene thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Scene kids?
Yeah, scene kids.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going to go with this question, but I like that you see how my eyes lit up.
Yes.
Now, I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, it was so long ago. It I'm not about to sit here and act like I remember the songs and I remember, like, you know, like, first of all, I'm just put out there now, like, I remember the Scene Kid era and I wanted to be Scene Kid so bad, but I know it sounds bad, but I'm black, so I didn't really see much of that in, you know, one, just where I'm around, whatever, like. And also, like, I didn't see many black Scene Kids, so I didn't even know really how to make my hair do the things that they was doing.
And thank just, God you like, didn't, though, right?
Oh, man. What I actually did, I'm going to say this right now. I had an identity crisis up until I was, like, 20. So let me just say this. I made up for it, like, by the jerking era, I think, came around this time. You know, jerking, how do I say this? It was like 2013, actually, for that era. Well, not 2013. No, 2009, because that's when I started high school. The jerking, they would just wear, like, bright colored skinny jeans and, you know, Hello Kitty. Well, they didn't wear Hello Kitty, but I incorporated it to, like, give that scene look. And, like, you know, like, my red skinny jeans would match her bow. And, like... I would just try to, like, do a lot, like, some identity for myself, because I didn't know how and where I could fit in. But I remember that era so badly, and I don't know why I wanted to be one so bad. I would, like, Google how to be a Scene Kid. And, like, they would be like, you don't be a Scene Kid. They have to tell you.
Like, oh, no.
Who's they? Like,
yeah, where's the meeting at? I want to go to the meeting. Where is it?
Right. Like, I just wanted to be seen so bad. But then it's also like, I don't have time. My parents look like being like, what the hell are you doing there? Whatever. Like,
so for the people listening that don't know what Scene is, go ahead and explain how you would describe.
How would you describe Scene?
Oh, my God. It's been so long. So, I mean, I think from what I Googled or remembered, it's definitely not goth, but I don't know if I would even say the opposite. It's just like, you know, you wear like brightly colored stuff, you know what I'm saying? And like your hair is like dyed in different colors. That was the main thing.
And it's out of control.
Yeah, and the bang, okay? The bang was... like major, like you had to make your hair look like it covered at least a good 60% of your face. And you're just like, I don't know, I was really consumed into YouTube. Like, this was when I was first consumed into YouTube, so I would always just look up different Scene Kids. And
do you remember Kiki Cannibal?
Kiki Cannibal, yeah. I do.
She's like, for shame, yeah.
Oh, they would wear those damn foxtails.
Yes, and that girl tried to say she invented it.
Oh my gosh, for real, man. It was very much, but if you look at the jerking era, you know, with the new boys and all that, it's kind of similar, you know what I'm saying? I really feel like they just took a little bit from what the Scene Kids was doing and, like, incorporated it into hip-hop.
Like, flipped it.
Right. They're like, we're gonna still do the brightly colored skinny jeans and do all this, like, stuff, but we're gonna just, like, dance, make up dances with it, too, and, like, so make up songs.
What were, like, the prominent, like, either, can you think of, like, a prominent song or artist for that lane, like, the jerking era, like you're saying?
Oh, for the jerking era? I mean, the most common one, You're a Jerk, I'm horrible, Ben J, and, oh, my God, see?
I know the song, too, but I don't know, honestly, I don't know that.
Right.
Yeah, I could hear it in my head.
That was just a little era, and I remember, I think they would talk about, they wouldn't necessarily outright be like, I was influenced by, but they would definitely say, like, you know, I really like the way they dress, so I was like, okay.
Was it the New Boys?
The New Boys, yeah. Okay. The New Boys.
I looked it up.
He wanted to look at it.
Whenever like someone, I can't remember. I'll play that shit.
Okay. I remember you. If it's played, you'll remember it, Andrew. Watch it. Play it real quick.
Oh, this is like a video with a whole bunch of nonsense too.
See, YouTube,
we play. Yeah, playing off of YouTube.
I know.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this goes to...
The way they dress, it's just like...
Do you...
Put that next to like a white teen kid or just maybe anyone who was like into that, like that had the ability to do them crazy colors. And you see, they...
So
it's similar.
When you used to, did you wear Vans?
Yes.
Do you remember that song "Vans" by The Pack?
Yes.
Look like sneakers.
I wanted it all. I wanted the Converse. I wanted to look like a skater kid. Like, and I didn't even know how to skate. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted.
But look, also, you're so honest.
You're so honest, though. You're like, I was into these things. This is why. But that's what we love, because some people are a little shady with their answers. Like,
no, I've always been the same exact person.
Real growing up, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I just wanted to be a part of something.
So that's the thing, is like, when obviously, like I said, we missed the whole Steamboat and like the jerking. Like, that was more my brother. He's probably, Boo's like what? Boo's 30 now. He's 4 years younger than me, and so he's a little bit older than you, but that was still like his era in high school where some of that was like in style, and he didn't wear it, but like some of his friends did, or he was into the music, and they had like their whole little cruise like that they used to have separated in. So it was like a goes back to the whole thing that it was actually kind of like, even the scene thing, even if a lot of it was super negative, there was like a community aspect to it that people would like jump on and want to be in. Because I was too old for it, but I would be like on blogs or like internet blogs that like people self-submit things. Like a lot of, like one of the ones I was on like would talk about people that were trying to be e-famous. So I know it's bad, but then they would post someone and like laugh at them.
That was
so that's how I was like, that's how I was in tune with a lot of this, even though it wasn't my age range, but I would like be an outsider watching because people would post and be like, look at this kid, like they're a wannabe scene kid and like all this stuff. So that's how I know about Kiki Cannibal and like her her sister that she had, but she had a little sister basically. So that chick though like ended up going to Japan and she's like a model over there.
Really? Damn. Yeah, they would definitely steal a lot of stuff from Japan. Like, they were obsessed with Hello Kitty. Like, it was just that thing. I'm, like, all, like, disturbed a little bit. Like, my face is, like... I don't know, because, like, they just seem like they established what it is that they were and what they were about. And, like, you also had to, like, really like the songs, like, My Chemical Romance. Panic at the Disco or
Fall Out Boy, Paramore.
Yeah.
So for yourself, like you said, you were always kind of like searching. You're like, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of something. And to me, that's human nature. Like everybody in their own way wants to be a part of a community or be involved or feel counted or noticed. Even if some of us want to be more noticed than others, and that's fine. You know, everybody has their own personalities. But like, so have you ever found like, from that point until now, like, because for me personally, I'll speak on my own. Like, I think that's something that I personally always had searched for as well, like a sense of like belonging or community. And like, I can't say that I've really ever found it here, even being like a almost 35 year old woman. Like, how would you speak from your experience?
I would agree. I think the older you get, the less of a, you know, I don't know if I can cuss on
you. No, you can cuss, yeah.
Like, you just don't really care at any point, and that is definitely what it transitioned to for me. I just realized, like, all these trends, like, for what? Like, I used to just, I think the mall was, like, a big thing for me, you know, and obviously was thriving back then versus how it is really now, but, you know, I was just always be that type of person where I'd have to be in the mall all the time so I could see whatever was trending and what I could get and like how I could just look the newest and the best or the most trending of whatever. Like, so to answer your question, if it's been anything where I have figured out where I fit in, you know, like, I think it's just like being myself. Like, as corny as it is, that's just kind of what it comes down to. Like, I'm definitely not in any corner of really anything besides me. So I'm okay with that.
Exactly. Because you don't have to worry about carrying other people or, like, constantly worrying, just worrying in general about other people. Like, you kind of just do you and you stay in your own circle in your own lane.
Start paying, but, like, once you start having to pay and really be responsible for yourself, you don't really have time to be keeping up with or worrying about how you can be or fit in or dress or whatever. It's like, look, y'all are going to take me as I am because my damn bills are paid. What it is.
So. You're like, so if I say that I cannot, money like I don't have the money to go to the Grand Canyon, you're going to respect that.
Right. I was born during damn near two recessions. Okay. 2008. And now, well, it wasn't like a thing where we could just be worrying about, like, after that time where things started with the market crashing and just, I don't know, life transitioning and just turning into what it is now. You know, I think for me personally, there's just bigger things to worry about.
So how did you?
But no knocking people who do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, everybody's gonna do their own thing, whatever it is. So, like, how did you, because I know you, like, you buy records and stuff because you're obviously a DJ, but you all, like, you don't, that's not like your main focus, because I think so many people get hung up on, like, buying records versus actually enjoying the music, you know? So,
oh my god, yeah.
So do you still buy records now? Like, are they things that you pick up, or only things really specific, or?
Yeah, I would consider that like my little treat. Like, I do see the value still with vinyl, and I do believe artists are now transitioning into that as well. I mean, I still keep and collect CDs. Like, I appreciate what things were built on. I'm just a collector in general. I realize I'm a hoarder. So it's kind of going to be that thing where I'm always going to be getting that stuff just for me, no matter what the price may be. Like, I don't mind splurging because I know it's going to be valuable in the future and it's mine. And yeah.
Do you remember the first record you bought?
The first record I brought. Damn, good question. It's hard.
Do you think it was more like an album, even if you can't just remember specifically? Or was it like a single, like a 12-inch? Or I remember I sold you one 12-inch, but I know that wasn't your first record. It was the Nelly Furtado Turn Off the Lights. The
remix. Yes, yeah. And I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Oh man, I love that record. That's a good question. I can't lie to you. I can't say that I do remember. I just remember that when I realized the importance of vinyl and just the fact that I need to like tap into the roots and not be like these digital DJ. No offense to them, but just not really putting any appreciation into vinyl to where like they have one of their own or they even have a record player or know how to like put the little thing on the thing so it'll
yeah it'll, just like drop the needle just to basically just play it just yeah. Something to say basic
at least just knowing how to do it whether you know what it is or not. Like, I just realized like I'm just gonna go on a rampage and just get as much as I can, not for the sake of for show, but just for the appreciation and just, you know, the fact that these might not be around forever, like specific ones. You know, there are a lot of copies that run with vinyl, but sometimes you get lucky and you might get a rare piece. And like, I think those type of things mean a lot to me, just having something of value like that.
Do you have?
I don't know why. I just am such a possession.
I think you're just, it's more sentimental. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember someone gave me a record, only person ever in my life, gave me a vinyl record for my birthday. And it was Madlib, Shades of Blue. And that was so dope to me. Like, and it changed my life because I didn't really know Madlib like that and just the legacy of what he had. And just, I mean, I don't know. It just really flipped my world around of like how much it also teaches me things. Like, because the internet is big and there are so many streaming sites that people can just rely on to go and search a song. But what's to say, I mean, not being on no conspiracy stuff, but rely on the internet forever, you know? Like, what's to say, that it just might not change. Things could always change, and I just feel like vinyl will be forever. It's like cash, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just always cash something king. You can have on hand. Yeah, you always gotta have cash on hand. So I'm always gonna have vinyls on hand, CDs.
Do you have, that. So maybe besides that record that you're talking about, is there a record, I have two questions, is there a record that you have that you're like, I will literally, this one will go with me to the grave, I'll never give it up. And two, is there a record, whether it's an actual full LP or just a single, that you really want, that you're like, oh, I would love to have that one. And not necessarily even because it's might or might not be expensive or rare, just because you want it for whatever your own personal reasons are.
It's your unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll answer both of those because I know the answer to both of those. For the first one, of like a record of going with me if my house goes on fire or if I die, like it'll be buried with me. I'm gonna have to say the collection of the NERD records that I have. If you're not familiar with NERD, the band with consisting of Chad Hugo, Shay Haley, and of course Pharrell Williams. So that's going to grieve me, period, because, like, I'm a little stan, you know? I'm not even about to really geek out too hard, but like, that's just what it is. I can't just go without those. But if there is one that I've been really dying for a little bit, it's Bobby Caldwell. Oh, my God, I'm going to be so embarrassed to myself.
It's so hard nowadays, though, because we're so inundated with information sometimes that things just get, like, locked in a loop or in our brain, you know? So it's like, you know it, but you just can't think it. Like, I get it. It happens to me, too.
It's a Bobby Caldwell record, and it's a heart-shaped one. And I think at Grand Avenue Records, he was selling it for the longest, Coco. But I don't know. It's just what. But it's What You Won't Do for Love. That's the song.
Oh, okay. That, yeah.
That is a song that I definitely want in my records, and hopefully one day I can secure it because I love that song.
So for like NERD, so I remember, so when we were talking about like the whole scene and jerking things, so those are like more what was considered like alternative subcultures. So when you look at Pharrell, okay, so we look at Pharrell and like, I feel like he didn't fully fit into a box of like what people like maybe just regular everyday middle America would think of as like what a black man is into, because people assume like they have to, you know, they have all these assumptions or stereotypes. So is that what attracted you to NERD and for like Pharrell and stuff, or?
Oh my God. Such a great question. Yeah, definitely. I feel like if we're going to talk about what I do fit into, I would say that subculture is very much it, because he has that the epitome of just what my spirit lives off of, which is just individuality, originality, and just, you know, literally thriving off of not only your own culture, but other cultures, in a sense, to where it's like you can add a little splash of your culture in there. You know what I'm saying? Like for Pharrell, he was like known as Skateboard P. You know, he had his own little skateboard team. That was his thing for a while, to where transition into clothing and things, but
like BBC, the Billionaire Boys Club, the ice creams,
he had a preppy style, you know, he was doing something that was similar to Lacoste that for after a while, then like he's been like deep into hip hop kind of thing, like on that conscious rap at one point, like even though that's not really a side that's heavily promoted. Then he did the little rock thing, you know, with NERD. So he's just every and anywhere. And that's what I aspire, is just to like not be in a box. Like, why? You know, the way this world is nowadays, being multi-hyphenate is the thing. Like no one is, I mean, not no one, but I feel like everyone has different routes they go in. You know, with you being a DJ and having this podcast, they are two kind of different worlds that can merge. And I love that.
Well, I'm glad you love Pharrell, because like, but like truly, like I'm everyone enjoys his music and like NERD and like production of the Neptunes and all the other stuff, but it's like you have a real deep appreciation and you're like, yeah, I do love him because of this. And I think it's always nice to see someone that we feel like represents us, like for anybody, like if they have a role model, like a lot of course little brown girls love Selena, and that's why her legacy is so strong, because we don't have much out there to look up to and be like, that's us, you know, that could be us or that's me up there. So that's cool that you have that perspective on Pharrell. And what other artists, or okay, so for DJing, so how did you get into DJing and what made you gravitate towards it?
How did I get into DJing? Well, I was being out here, living out here by myself. Eventually, as I was starting college, and growing a little older, I'm not even lying to you. I would say once I turned 21 is when I was able to go to the bars and go to all the little places where like those live shows would be going down, or just like things with DJs obviously being more prominently in the space. So, I mean, I would say that I was really just out and about and around. I would always go to 6-0 Tuesdays with DJ Intrification being there. I remember going to Lost Leaf, seeing Stony Pie. I remember just going to so many different places, like Third Space when it was a thing, like they would have their weekly kind of like open mic situation and just meet artists and people that were DJs and just of all sorts of things. Like I would just meet these people and it just became a thing where I started finding like things to really be influenced off of. I wouldn't say that it's what made me be a DJ, because it was always in the back of my mind what I wanted to do, but it's never a thing where I knew where I could even start, because especially with being in college, you know, I just knew it was like all of an investment with equipment and stuff, and that was my biggest thing of like, how would I even get started, whatever. And I don't know, I'm just that type of person where when I really want to do something, sometimes I'm not the best to act on it quickly, so I will think about it a lot and watch people a lot that do it. And
so where do you think the hesitation comes from, though? Is it more that you don't want to fail, or is it more that you want to learn and like be a sponge first, or is it something else?
Definitely, I like being a sponge. I feel like I'm the most productive when I am learning, even though being hands-on will take you so much more farther, obviously. But also, like, I did have this, like, imposter syndrome, or, like, kind of just hesitation of, like, can I even do this? Like, is this even worth it, per se? Because it wasn't like I was doing it for money reasons. I didn't even know anything about what DJs were getting paid and all that. I didn't really care. It was just, like, it looked really cool for what they were doing. I really love being able to see people, like, admirers kind of come up and, like, be like, you did really good, or, like, you know, talking to the DJs. And I just was like, I want to be back there doing that, you know? And it's, like, I think it was just, like, a domino effect. Like all of the music and things that I did in the past, because I also never really mentioned I was in choir for like 4 years. I was in band in high school. I did piano for like 7 years.
Little mini Pharrell at high school band. And so.
Like I was out here, there, everywhere. So I think it was just like all of it made sense for me to just find something that worked for me, but still made me feel like I could be in that world, like as a musician in a sense, even though, you know, DJing has people have their different viewpoints on how they can see it. But ultimately, I just know it was the most relevant thing. And then just the elements of hip hop too, like learning that, it's vital, like it's one of them. And it just made sense for me. It was just something that made sense in regards to figuring out my life and what I really wanted to do, because I liked doing journalism. That was like kind of that initial career goal. But I was like, how can I transition this into things that I deal with every day and that I actually like? And it's like, oh, I love music. So, I mean, maybe I could worry about that with radio, but what is something else that I could really do? Like, how can I dig deeper into like making a name for myself, but it not having to do with like me just talking all the time?
Well, because too, like being a DJ, you still have to definitely be a consumer and someone who loves and enjoys the music, but at the same time you can provide it to other people to consume. So you're not just like a passerby, you're an active participant in it, but you're not always at front center stage. So it's like you get your feedback from the dance floor essentially. So it's like it's cool to be an active participant and be providing something and a part of something, but then you're not always like up there, you're not like on the mic singing or whatever. So it's a nice like you're saying, a nice best of both worlds, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'm just such a supportive person. I always am supporting other and, you know, supporting other people's canvases. I was like, I need to start my own, you know, and this just seemed like the one that made the most sense in terms of something that I could do as a hobby and a possible career. But I really always started off as just a hobby thing. I never even believed in myself as much to think that I was capable to have skills of mixing and also multi-format. Like I never thought I would get this far of like the knowledge that I've gained and like everything. So yeah, it's just nice that I took that risk, because it definitely put me in a good space of like opportunities I would have never been able to see otherwise.
Do you have a preferred method of playing? I know you did do digital at one time. Are you just strictly records now, or do you do a combination of both?
I love, in this order, I love vinyls. I mean, I can't lie. It is still something that I'm working with to master with DJing strictly on vinyl. So, I mean, beyond that, I love also using Serato on vinyl, just because it still gives me that vinyl feel, but I can also mess a little bit with technology. So I love vinyls. I love controllers, just because it's very easy on the go to pick up, grab a go kind of thing. It's a lot with vinyl equipment sometimes, and also the fear of it melting. And it's just too valuable for me to want to jeopardize anything breaking, whatever. And then I like CDJs. I think it's cool to use those, but at the same time, it's not, I don't know, it's not my everyday kind of thing, because I'm not a club DJ, and that's where a lot of clubs like to use those, that type of equipment. So, yeah.
So, for, like I said, the quote-unquote DJ community here, I guess you could say, like, have you faced any obstacles? I know at one point in time someone must have been like stalking you and stole all your equipment, which was like a horrible thing. I remember that happened to you. I felt so bad. So
you know, for even like remembering that, because it's not something that I bring up or talk about, or like it's like it happened and like, you know, but it was, yeah, going far.
No. And like I said, with this is all like pre-recorded, so I can edit anything we want to, if we want to edit something out. No, but like, just like, what other obstacles have you faced besides like just something as obvious? Okay, so that's an obvious obstacle. My equipment's stolen, so what am I going to do? But like, what other barriers or obstacles do you feel like you faced here? Because I know there's definitely them, and a lot of people don't. And not saying you, I'm just saying in a general sense, like, I'll talk to people and nobody wants to be honest about like how a lot of the thing opportunities and things are just like locked up here or and stuff like that. But like, and everybody has their own reasoning why they think that. Like I said, one of the comments that I made in one of the previous podcasts that we had just released was that I noticed that a lot of the opportunity is locked up here, and it's locked up by people that all look the same. And like, and it's just kind of like, I'm not trying to call anyone out directly or not, no indirect shade, but it's just the truth. And a lot of people want to be like, oh, it's a happy community because so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, but look who's at the top, and look where it's like I say it's like a circle jerk.
No, girl.
So have you faced anything that you feel comfortable speaking about?
Yeah, definitely the fact that I can agree wholeheartedly with that in itself. Like, it's not a thing where, well, let me just say this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't take away from anyone's music choices or whatever, but I think one thing we can all say, or somewhat agree on a little bit, is that EDM and like that world is the most appreciated, and like when it comes to like DJs, just DJing events, gigs, and like things that really are prominent, like that has the most appreciation to wear. That shines a light. And even when you see the people in there, obviously, as you mentioned, they all look the same. And I think that all like plays a part too, like in the transition of like drum and bass, or like these different genres that have that electronic-ish sound, definitely you're not seeing much of a difference. And then when it, I think the biggest challenge I've noticed is like a culture of like hip hop, or just like anything that really has that like rhythm that isn't as necessarily repetitive, but has a lot of different stuff added to it, whether that be hip hop, R&B, whatever, is not as appreciated. Like, you're not really going to see events like that. And I feel like even if you did, it's like I don't see many people going or that are in there because of the fact that they want to hear that EDM electronic stuff. I like dealt with this firsthand playing shows at Barsmith and stuff, and like, you know, they'll have like the hip hop and stuff downstairs and it'll be empty, but then like you go upstairs and you're hearing just like the drum and bass or the electric stuff, and like that's like full as hell. And it's just like, damn, what's so ironic that people don't know is like drum and bass is something that was like kind of originated from Black people like that.
Like, thank you.
No offense, like, to not to like be on no like this is mine here, but it's like, if you can appreciate that, what's wrong with this, you know? And like, that's the thing, like, I don't know, I just feel like sometimes also another obstacle I realize is like, people aren't always appreciative of like just being a music listener. Like, sometimes they just want to hear the common, you know, everyday, what it is, cut and dry, and like leave it at that. And like, I'll be playing shows at like Cobra or even at a Valley Bar in the ballroom, and like, people just want to hear the mainstream stuff. They don't want to hear anything that might sound cool, but that they don't know. You can't even really throw it in a little bit if you want to, because you don't want to kill the dance floor. So I feel like, well, I mean, just as I've noticed personally, being able to keep up a dance floor and in a dance environment like that, like, they really just want to. I remember when I was playing at Cobra and I was playing a lot of early 2000s. hip hop and stuff, and like this guy came to me like, can you just play Cardi B? Can you play Drake? Can you play like blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, and like local, the same thing happened to me at Valley Bar. They're like, J Balvin. Like, okay, but I'm playing this right now. Like,
yeah, let's finish this, and we're gonna get there. It's a journey, guys.
Yeah, if it's not EDM too, it's also Latin music. Like, people really love that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like that's, we're in Arizona, like, duh, like, that's just kind of what it is. But at the same time, like, I just feel like it's hard to make room for me to figure out what, I've always wanted, like, a residency, and Valley Bar is as close as I got to that. But I think it's really hard trying to find something that people can enjoy and, like, appreciate musically.
Sometimes, but not too, I feel part of it, though, is on the venues, because, like, okay, something that I've been collecting since I've been basically buying records, that I always try to look for it and stuff, is, as you brought it back to what I've mentioned a billion times on this damn podcast, is like, mm-hmm. the, like, even like late 80s ish whatever, like New Jack Swing style, and then the 90s and the early 2000s R&B okay. and hip hop and stuff in my headphone. I was like, what the heck on next? So people would make fun of me, you want that, you want to buy that? But then now, like, because I'm not always on IG or social media, but then, like, I'll go on there. And I notice now, though, that's what's trending. Like, people now are buying it, and they're paying, like, top dollar for this stuff that used to be in the dollar bin. And now everybody's doing streams with that shit. Like, people that were like, I would never play that shit. Like, I'm only into right, all or they're these.
Sampling it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, I see all of you. Not that it's a bad thing, because I do think it needs its time and needs to be appreciated and respected. And like, there's so much.
About time.
Yes, but it's, I always want to, I internally a little bit, I want to cackle, because I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I saw you before.
Right. No, I definitely feel that. I definitely feel like now. Oops.
No, I didn't see. Becoming
where it is becoming more appreciated with just people listening to things more for the music versus the artist or where it's charting. But I can't say that it's always been that way. For the journey of me being able to DJ, I feel like it's been iffy with that. So yeah.
So do you have anyone currently, like, that has, like, pushed you along the way or, like, mentored you in your DJ journey, whether it's, like, someone that helps you, like, navigate and really get comfortable with Serato, or even if, like, with you being on the radio, too, how did you get into that?
Ooh, okay. Definitely. Well, I will say I'm not going to take away, definitely, for even from those people that I'm not necessarily talking to this day, that they didn't have that influence. But I think to starting out, for sure, I did have different people here and there in my corner that were supportive in, like, helping with learning and just really just being able to consume the culture of it. But I would say the biggest influence of just teaching me how to DJ ultimately came down. His name's DJ Psychopat. And we were working at the radio station together at AZ to Beat. And how I got into that, I honestly just walked in, asked if they were hiring. And they were like, yeah, come in for an interview here this day. And then boom. But it was never always been that easy, though. I can't even lie to you. But that's just how it worked out for me. And then I would say just talking to people, hanging out, and really getting to know the people I was working with. One of the DJs there also provided DJ lessons, and I knew logistically how to DJ, but I really wanted to just fine tune the skills and also format-wise, become a lot more knowledgeable on that with vinyl and with my controller simultaneously. So he did a great job of, like, helping me navigate on both of those levels, and even just teaching me a little bit with history giving me different things to watch and just teaching me what the name of certain things are on the turntable and stuff like that.
Just like helping you get a little bit more comfortable with yourself behind it, so you can just kind of like go from there to
fill it out. Right, just educating myself on what I'm putting my hands on, so I'm just not sitting here being like, I'm a DJ, but you don't even know, you know, really this and that of like.
You're like, you're just hitting the sync button the whole time. Not you, but people.
Exactly. Bad.
Like, Q. Oh, no, I can't tell. Andrew's like going towards the mic, like wants to ask something. Like, is he going to ask a question?
No, I didn't have a question yet.
So before, I'll have a few more questions for you. What would you say? Now these are just random. Your top three for your family cookout classics. What would they be? And then the other top three we'll ask you. And you can just, they don't have to be the ultimate top three, but just what are the three that jump out of your head? And the other is, what are the top three songs when you think of summer? So they don't have to necessarily be released in the summer, but they give you that summer vibe. Like, what would your top three songs be?
Oh, man. Oh, this is good. Okay. Ooh, well, I'll say top three cookout, definitely Before I Let Go.
Who else said
probably that? Like Marvin.
It was Elise. We actually just interviewed someone and that was one of theirs, Before I Let Go, on their number one.
Oh really?
Yeah,
it just sounds like one of them things, like I don't know what it is, it's just like a little, yeah. But Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. My third one is hard because I don't know. Oh my God, wait. I feel like sometimes like I'm gonna like have a gun to my head.
Like, no, it's not like that.
I'll throw the number three out there and you can yay or nay it. It's Back That Ass Up.
Back That Ass Up. I'm gonna say nay because my parents, they military parents, so they keep it tight. Keep tight. That's what they say. That's their thing. So
you know, there's so summer
like,
jams,
I don't know,
maybe.
Like, right. Jeez.
So
I know. It's hard to say.
What about we'll move on to the summer songs. Can you name a few songs that feel like summer? Like you could put it on, but like, yeah, like this takes me, whether it takes you back or just gives you that vibe.
Yeah. Summertime Madness by Kool & the Gang. Let me see what else. I mean, if we get a little current in it, I would say Tyler the Creator. Any of the songs off of his Flower Boy album, I feel like that was an excellent album in more current times. And it just reminds me of a significant summer that I had, just doing a lot of what I wanted to do versus what other people wanted. And the last one, see, I always get stuck on the last one.
So do you have like a Neptune song or an NERD song, like a Neptune's produced that you would say reminds you of summer? You're like all of them, really?
That would be nice to say, right? I would say maybe Run to the Sun by NERD. That could be a little summer vibe, probably. I mean, I think just their In Search Of album had that like summer-esque vibe to it. So really, you could select any song off of there except Bobby James. But yeah, I could see those songs off of just that album specifically being that vibe.
And is there any music right now that you've discovered, whether it's actually new or new to you, that you're listening to where you're like, okay, I feel this? Like, are there any albums? One of my top albums, it was technically released last year, but it was like late last year, that I'm still listening to now is Songs For You by Tinashe. That album's really good if you haven't heard it.
Okay, no, I do need to hear it. I've heard good things about Tinashe. And I've been revisiting albums. And I'm a huge fan of Anderson .Paak. So I really realized if I'm thinking of a good non-Skip album, the collaboration he did with his friend Knowledge, who's a producer, mm-hmm. who produces a lot of songs. They're in this group called No Worries. And yeah, that album is amazing and just soulful and great. And definitely something that I have been listening to a lot more often lately. In the more recent times, it's not like there hasn't been. I mean, I really like Flying Lotus's album. Thundercat, pretty decent. It was like Thundercat, you know, just a lot of chord progressions everywhere. I don't know. I can't lie to you. I've been listening to a lot of music lately, but I've been appreciating more producers and like their beats. So there's been just like different producers that I've been really like listening to and just having them on loop with either their projects or just like a video they post on Instagram that just sounds so dope. And like that, it's kind of hard to stop listening to until you get tired of it. So yeah, that's what I'm listening to.
So I just quick question too. Did you ever go or see the Basement Tapes Phoenix when they would have their night? Was it at Crescent, Andrew? Or Valley Bar?
They're at both Crescent and Valley Bar.
So it's a collective. So there's three DJs. And it's My God Complex, that's Ken. And then there's Vex, which is Reese. And then there's Ricky T, her name is Erica. Did you ever go to any of their nights?
Well, funny you say that. I can maybe say I have one, not on a side where I was like set on going there, but it's just like I went one night and I did see them at a Valley Bar. But I've actually had Ricky and My God Complex guest like at like a show that I like it's like a monthly kind of situation I was doing. It was called Esoteric Sounds from the Underground. Okay, yes. And I would just play a lot of different music, whatever really the hell I wanted. But yeah, they were guests. And I think Ricky also took over for me one night for that. And I really like their song selection. I feel if there's anyone in Phoenix that aligns to a lot of where my music taste is, definitely like My God Complex, because he appreciates NERD as much as I do too. So
I know Ken, he's really nice. He's such a great person in general.
Yeah, he's cool.
And I feel like with you, what I hope maybe one of the things that people take away after listening to your episode, because like we said, these episodes are always about you guys, not us. We're just kind of helping the conversation drive it along. Is that like, so I feel like you said, you're like, I came onto the scene probably what's perceived as a little bit late, because I didn't really start putting myself out there until I was like 21-ish, which is mm-hmm. normal legally, but we know most people, you know, they start their part, like their hardcore party days when they're like, some of them 14, you know, and that's how they kind of build connections and network. But like you're saying, you're like, I was kind of always there, but then I didn't really start putting myself a little bit out there more when I was older. So, and 21 is not old and you're still a baby. but you've been able to progress so much and for your own personal journey and what you're doing. And I've only known you, you know, a little bit short amount of time, but it's been neat to see the little bit of moves that you've made and the things that you've done for yourself and how you've kind of overcome certain things and you're like, you know, that sucks, but I just got to keep going. So it's been really neat for me to witness as just an outsider to see you kind of do that and build yourself up and kind of do what you need to do to get yourself out there. And it's cool because we need more, I think, people that have their ears to the ground and that are kind of out there and appreciate different things and aren't just like stuck in a little bubble. So
No, I appreciate that a lot. I've been, for some reason this year, I've been getting a lot of love and appreciation of people who have seen what I've done over the years, because obviously there ain't that much to do this year. But it's So, and it's been touching my heart a little bit because I do remember at one point of feeling like, damn, I don't really feel like people care about what I do, which, I mean, granted, it's not anything that, like, there isn't someone else in the world who isn't doing it, but it's just like, I always wondered one day when I would get a little bit of flowers for at least just trying, you know. And yeah, I do appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. I'm happy I met you, you know, especially with your dope record. Like, I got to buy half of you.
Well, yeah, if you're ever looking for a record and stuff, just message me or whatever, and I can see if I have it and if I'm willing to part with it. I have a lot. So, but thank you so much. We always say the greatest thing we can ever give someone is our time, because we can never get it back. So, thank you so much for giving us a good chunk of your time, and thank you. Or just thank you in general. Thank you for doing your thing. Thank you for coming on here. And is there anything last thing that you want to tell people out there? And also, don't forget again to let people know where you want to be found.
I will just say, really, in regards to y'all, you know, thank you for making this podcast something that exists and appreciates just the world of just DJing and vinyl collectors, or just people who are appreciators of the culture in general. I think, you know, a podcast like yours is super important, and I'm just honored to be a guest, because I can't lie, I love seeing a lot of the different guests that you've had on. I feel like they're really iconic people, so it feels good to be on the little lineup for the episode.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
But yeah, and y'all can find me at JMELEE, Jamie Lee, anywhere. That is anywhere.
And then, are you still currently on the radio?
Currently, the way coronavirus is going, I was a part of an independent radio station. So they have me in this kind of hold right now off of just financial reasons, not anything really having to do with me, but just off of the fact that it's not easy to have the full staff that they had. So I wouldn't say that I'm like not doing radio right now, but I definitely haven't been talking on air. But that's not to say that might not change towards the end of the year. It's really how this virus goes. Yeah.
Well, when you do get back on air or anything, let us know so we can maybe like make a little post about it and be like, let's go listen to our girl on there. And like, I don't know if you remember, but I told you before one time I was driving home from Phoenix, because we don't live in like Phoenix anymore. I live on the outskirts in a burb on the West Valley. But I was listening and you were on the radio, and I was like, oh my god, this is Jamie. I was like, I know who this is. And my daughter was like, no, you don't, mom. You're lying to me. You're making this. I'm like,
that is so cute.
She didn't believe me. She thought it was bullshit.
That is so cute. Man, kids be so honest. It hurts. It's like, damn.
Well, we wish you best of luck, and hopefully this virus stuff, you know, wraps up and we can all get back to being together. And we do plan on having like a thing once it's safe for everyone to be out, and we hope you will extend an invite too, so we hope you'll come. So
please do. Yes, looking forward to that.
All right, we'll go ahead and I guess don't stop digging, it just keeps spinning.
Thanks, guys.